Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. I had to run and do some major alterations on the phone line here, running upstairs and downstairs and trying to find out what's going on, but luckily we're back on. Take me a minute to catch my wind here. We're having some interesting things happen with our phones. We had our phone shut off twice now for no reason, and I think we finally got it straightened out. It looks like we're back and we're live and on the air. Tonight, I'm hopefully have a guest out in the field doing a sky watch right now who just got back from England, and they've had some just incredible journeys, and they're supposed to arrive here for the show, and we have somebody out there right now trying to round them up, but between now and then we can talk about, you know, quite a few other things that are going on the planet. One of the things that just happened is my sister just got married, and actually, being a minister, I presided over the ceremony and married my sister here today, and they're still having quite a wingding out in the main building, the hall, which is incredibly filled with orbs right now. A lot of the local people are being introduced to this phenomenon, and they're just having their minds blown because, you know, it's quite a mix of country folks here and a few of us that seem to know a little bit more about what's going on the other planes and dimensions. And they're getting a crash course in interdimensional mind and realizing that there are other light beings existing, and they're partying right along with them. So there's a really good band here, and they're playing music that is a lot of old Beatles music and a lot of upbeat music and music that's, you know, love songs and things of that nature. But it's going really well, and it's great that they're being introduced to a lot of other people. Seems like we have a caller right off the bat. Do we have a caller?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, James?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Sean.
Hi, Sean. How you doing?
Good. I've just been watching some stuff of yours on Google Video. It's all very great. I'd like to thank you for whoever put that up there.
Oh, you're welcome.
I had a question. In one of the movies I saw that you said in November, December of this year, there was going to be some events going on that you thought would leave no question in the public's mind of the existence of, you know, extraterrestrials, those realities. And I was wondering, do you know, have any idea what's going to lead to those events or what those events are? Just could you elaborate on that comment that you made?
Yeah, they've been giving me a lot of information. One of the main things they've been talking about is March, this coming March. And they said since there's some major Earth changes with some oceans moving around and things of that nature, and they've been talking about a big event. But they've also been talking about a big event in November. And and what I understand is that the veils are very, very thin right now. And, you know, people with eyes to see are seeing all kinds of phenomenon happening around them. And they're going to do something with the grid, and it's going to really accelerate the grid and kick it up right now. So the veils are going to become even more thinner, and the ships are already here. People are waiting for them to appear. They're already here. We just can't see them. But we're going to become more and more aware of these ships, and people are actually photographing these ships, and, you know, the Internet is just full of photos right now around the world, so...
Yeah.
So it's you know, the whole Roswell thing finally was put to dead, you know, put to bed, you might say, with these deathbed confessions. And, you know, it's the whole cover-up is just being, you know, torn apart right now. So but what I see is with this shift, I think there's going to be a huge shift both economically and politically. And also there's going to be a lot of work done on the grid, on the consciousness grid. And then after that, it's probably from then on out, we're going to see all kinds of changes that usually hit socially and economically and probably, you know, followed after that by some earth changes. And then I know towards the end of this spring we're going to see a lot of ships around trying to help people through some of the changes.
Yeah.
And then it's going to just increase exponentially until, you know, the big crescendo is around 2010, where major events are going to happen, you know, Earth changes, and they're going to be here helping us out with a lot of these.
Okay. And another thing, my friend and I went to the X conference that was held in Maryland just this last weekend, and
yes.
we were taking a few pictures around there, and we actually picked up quite a few orbs on my friend's digital camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my digital camera, which is a slightly better model than what his was, and I was noticing that mine wasn't picking it up. And I was also wondering, do you have any idea of why you have to use the flash to pick up the orbs? We were wondering how, like, maybe the light reacts with their energy fields or something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of information about them. Michal Ledwith is doing some great research and some other people. And what it is that a lot of the newer cameras have infrared filters on them. They've been putting those in.
Yeah.
And that totally kills the orbs, you know, being able to shoot the orbs.
Mm-hmm.
The good way to test that is to shoot a remote control, one of the infrared remote controls at your camera, and turn it on and then take a picture of it. And if you don't see the light or see any energy there, it means you've got a camera that has the built-in filters.
Yeah, I think mine did have that filter and his didn't.
Yeah, unfortunately, that some of the newer cameras, they're having so many problems because the veils are coming down right now and the orbs are showing up everywhere that people are getting upset and they think there's something wrong with their cameras, but it's not. It's just the veils are getting thinner, and so now they're putting filters in so people can start taking pictures without the balls of light showing up, you know.
Yeah, we were definitely getting some good shots on his that didn't have the filter.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's Alfred Wibray was here, and Dr. Michael Sala, and a lot of the exopolitic people were here at a conference. And, you know, we noticed a lot of orbs around them, and their work is being overseen by these ultra-dimensionals that are keeping an eye on the whole project.
Yeah.
And, they're getting a lot of inspiration on high from these ultra-dimensional beings that are watching over what's going on.
Okay, and also my friend and I, during this, we both attend colleges, so during our Christmas or winter break, we were thinking of maybe taking a trip out to the ranch, and, like, what were your policies on accommodating guests, and if you were going to be there in the...
I probably will be. I have one big conference in October coming up, and that's it, and then after that, I'm pretty much sticking home, so there's... You know, some other conferences that they've wanted me to come and speak at, and I've kind of declined just because I'm getting a real clear message to, you know, focus on the ranch here and get this thing, you know, moving forward and holding a lot more conferences here and gatherings here. So more than likely I'll be here, except for that one event in October.
Okay.
And, I might have I think I have two events in October, and they're right next to each other. So I'll probably, other than those events, we'll put them up on the website.
Okay, we'll probably, if we did come, we'd probably be in late December or early January. So you'd be there around then, probably?
Yeah, more than likely I'll be here.
Okay.
I'm really tempted to find some warmer weather somewhere for a couple of weeks because the winters up here are brutal. But it's best just to call. You know, the number's on the website, and just call to see.
Okay.
See if we're going to be here or not.
Do you find that there are ever any more sightings or less sightings in the winter months, or if there are any good seasons?
You know, we've found here is that when we get a really large group here, the ships seem to not come as much because there's a real diverse consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to keep a good, positive, you know, cohesive group together when you have, you know, 50 or 100 people here on up.
Yeah.
And so we found that the ships did come in. Like the last conference, we had big mother ships, two of them come over the place, and we had filmed huge cylinder ships over the mountain and then metallic ships actually in the field. And so there were a lot of ships here during that one, the last conference we had. But some of the other groups we've had here, every once in a while we get, you know, a few people that are pretty negative and skeptical and demanding, and they kind of mess it up for the rest of the group.
Mm-hmm. So in some ways a smaller group can almost be better.
It is. Actually, we found out after we just had a big group up here, and And right after they left, we went back out two nights later, and we saw three or four ships. Last night, we saw three big ones powered up right over the house here and lit up.
Nice.
And there's only about maybe eight or nine of us out there.
Well, that's good.
But they seem to come in really low and closer when we have a small focus group.
Yeah. Okay. I think, oh yeah, I was also going to ask, what is, I heard a little bit about you were going to make an expedition somewhere up north. What was that about?
Oh, the North Pole Expedition.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's X Squared Radio. It's on the same venue here at BBS Radio.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's, it's a thing that's being set up by Brooks Agnew, Dr. Brooks Agnew.
Uh-huh.
And he's actually has a Russian icebreaker on hold, waiting to give the go. And he's going to take a team of both scientists and some very enlightened people on the trip to see if they can make contact with, you know, some of the ETs they've been seeing around that area, as well as the inner Earth, the beings on the interior. And I tell you what's interesting is some of the remote viewers now are connecting in with some of these light ships they're seeing, and the messages that they're getting is that some of them are from the inner Earth. They're from the interior. They're not from other systems. So,
yeah,
you know, they're getting a lot of this latest information, too. And you know, the hollow Earth theory has been around forever, and it seems to add up when you watch planets forming. You know, out in the universe, they do seem to start off as a hot gaseous ball, and you know, spinning centrifugal force, you know, pushes the heavier elements to the outside, and so they would form a crust and actually be hollow. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I haven't looked much into that theory. I had heard that you were going to maybe go up there, and
yeah.
I thought that for a second it'd be a lot easier if they just got a plane and then flew over, because supposedly part of the theory is that there's a hole in the ice cap, isn't it?
Yeah, there's an opening there, and you could fly into it. Admiral Byrd flew into it, and some other people have been in there, some other explorers, and there's lots of books and ancient lore that seem to validate that. But Dr. Brooks Agnew at X Squared Radio, if you go to his site, he's actually written books on it, and he has DVDs. He's done presentations here at the ranch, and they're just awesome, and he gives the science behind it, and how a lot of the, you know, when they did atomic bomb tests, it would ring, you know, send a wave through the planet, and it showed definitely that the planet was not solid on the interior. You know, it had to be either water or air, one or the others, because those are the readings.
Yeah.
So it made it very clearly, you know, by these soundings that, you know, the planet is not what we think, and it kind of adds up to basic common sense, but you have to go against scientism in order to bring some of this information out.
Yeah. Another thing that was in the news recently was that that event where the B-52, I think it was, flew over the United States. Did you hear about this? With the, I think it had like five nuclear weapons on it.
Yeah,
It was heading to a base that was then a relay point to the Middle East. Like, I think one of the only on the East Coast that actually relays other aircraft out to the Middle East. And there's some speculation that this is going to be used to set up a false flag event to invade Iran. I was just wondering if you had any information on that you think they are going to try to do something with Iran, or is that just...
Well, it's already been in the works. It's already on the books, and they just haven't decided exactly when, but they've planned this. All of these wars were pre-planned way ahead of time, years ahead of time. And I know people that were told, you know, 5 years before the fact that they were going to be going, you know, to Iraq, you know, even 5-6 years, you know, some even longer than that.
Wow.
Yeah, and they couldn't talk about it. They told me they're being deployed to Iraq, and I go, "What do you mean Iraq?" And they go, "Yeah, you know, there's going to be a big event there." And
wow.
I go, "What are you talking about?" You know, and we didn't, you know, the media, nobody else even knew about this stuff. So these plans are already all set up, and they're in the works, and they have a program going, you know, that they're going to do their thing. Luckily, there's a lot of people waking up in the military, you know, and in the agencies, and there's people that really do, you know, believe in God and country, and they do believe they're here to serve. and they're figuring this out, and they're saying, wait a minute, this serves nobody. This is nuts, and this is going to harm, you know, thousands, if not millions of people. So,
yeah.
So they're, you know, they're having a big attack of integrity and looking at the karma that's laid out in front of them, and they're saying, you know, their souls are just screaming at them, and they're breaking ranks and spilling the beans and saying, I'm not gonna do this. And luckily, that's happening more and more on a grander scale. People are waking up and realizing that, you know, this is just wrong, period. Orders or no orders, it's just not right, and they're deciding not to do it. But there was, that event was set up, and I don't know all the details of it, but it was definitely an unauthorized event. You know, it didn't go through standard military channels, and it looks like a major investigation is going into that right now, and they're looking who gave the orders, and like a lot of these things, it goes right to the top, you know, so.
Yeah. And also something they discussed a lot at the conference was possible in the future, the government trying to pull off some type of a alien false flag invasion.
Yeah, false invasion.
And I was wondering, do you think that the benevolent ETs would put a stop to that, since it would be done in their image and in their name? Or would they allow it to happen, since it would be...
I think they're about ready to put a stop to this whole thing, to be honest with you, from what I understand.
Yeah.
That it's just a matter of time. And you know, we have to gain the wisdom from experience. And so you know, we have to stand up and clean up our own mess. And it's not their job to lower themselves into our nonsense and play these games with us. But if enough people rise to the occasion, and like we've been doing, and put the intent out there and start asking for help and walking tall and, you know, regaining their integrity and their courage, we can turn all this around. It does look like it's going in that direction right now. So they're assisting us in many ways, you know, many unseen ways we don't know about, through inspiration and telepathic messages and kind of empowering people in the right positions to do the right thing. But they can't do it all for us. That's the problem.
Yeah, so we kind of have to meet them halfway is what I've been
thinking. Yeah, you know, part of me is saying, give me a light ship, I'll take care of it. But that's why they don't give me one, you know. But, you know, it's just... you know, they have their rules and regulations that they have to go by, and you know, they are going to take a much more active role here very shortly.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for talking to me.
Oh, no problem.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. Looking forward to see you up here. All righty. Back to the show. So, basically, we were talking about the conference here, and what's amazing is here where I live, it's a small town, you know, a very small town. It's a very strong Baptist community. A lot of logging, hunting, logging, basically. And there are some enlightened folks here and there that are splattered around the area. But, hey, sick, I think we got another caller.
Hi, James. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you doing?
I apologize for my voice. It's a little hoarse tonight.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jehajala.
Hi.
Your Palladian friend.
Okay.
And I just wanted to let you know that you're doing a fantastic job allowing the public to know what's really going on. And, of course, we are in a free will zone, and so all must make their choices. But I will give you an update here in the Smoky Mountains of the South.
Mm-hmm.
There is a big convergence of Floridians and Northerners
mm-hmm.
moving into the mountainous areas here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all saying, and I've interviewed a lot of people, and they're all like, we just feel like it's time to move inland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question to you tonight, James, is, with these earth changes that are coming, we all know that there are going to be areas that will be safe
mm-hmm.
and those that are not. Of course, we know that the coastal lines definitely are not safe.
Mm-hmm.
What updates can you give us as the public out here of what you've heard as far as time frames for coastal inundations the earthquakes, I think, were pretty safe in knowing where there's what they will be.
Mm-hmm.
But can you kind of elaborate on those things for us?
Well, one of the things they've been telling me over and over again is they give me time dates on major events, and it's hard to nail it down, but spring of 2008, they're saying get off the coast.
Yes.
And very clearly, and they're not sugarcoating it at all anymore. They're just being very clear.
Yeah.
And they're saying a major event. I've been trying to get the specifics on what is going to cause these oceans to rise and the tidal waves or whatever else is going to be happening. And they've been saying there's an upwelling going on, either a landmass or something's going to move up, or it might be a huge slide, you know, over in Greenland or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a huge ice shelf slide or something of that nature. But it's not a major pole shift that's going to cause this, and it's not going to be, you know, the first one is a wake up call. This one is not going to be as bad. I mean, it's going to be pretty serious, but it's not going to be as bad as it could be. Like a major.
You're talking about the one in spring of next year.
Exactly, and it's the big wake up call that it's time, you know, to.
Oh, you mean so it's not? So the people here in the United States will say, oh, well, that, you know, that flooding and that tsunami was over there in Indonesia 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This will be a wake-up call for our continent.
Exactly.
Okay.
And what they said very clearly that, you know, it seems the oceans on both, you know, the Atlantic and the Pacific at the same time are going to be, you know, rising rapidly, and there's going to be a lot of sloshing around. I haven't been able to get details yet. I'm working on that. The other thing, information I was given too as well, is that around 2010, towards the end of 2009, the first part of 2010, what's on the books right now is a massive solar event that's going to take out a lot of technology. It's going to go down.
When you said 2010?
Yeah, around 2010, and they said with a pole shift, a partial pole shift, not a total shift, but you know, enough. It could be 3 degrees, it could be less, or it could be more, somewhere around there. But that's like a 200-mile jump, you know, where we're going to be going.
Wow.
Our area is going to be going south, actually. We're up north here in the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
We're going to be going south. About.
So here in Tennessee, okay, you're in Washington State, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
And so if you're going to go down 20 degrees... So that means Tennessee
no,
would go down
degrees.
Another 20.
It's about 3 degrees, which is about 200 miles. But it's overnight.
Well, you know, we're already, James, beginning to experience where we have to plant our gardens like 2 months later
yeah.
than we used to. And we've actually, you know, they have the growing zones.
Mm-hmm.
And just in the last year, they've had to change the zonings. And we're going more into a tropical zoning now,
mm-hmm.
where you don't plant as early as we used to here in the Tennessee area,
mm-hmm.
Because we have late freezes, which almost
yeah.
wiped all the trees out.
Mm-hmm.
So we planted our garden in the end of May, 1st of June,
yeah.
and we're just now harvesting our stuff.
So we have
where usually you plant at the end of March, into April,
yeah,
and then you're harvesting things in July and August. It's 2 months progressively later now.
It is getting strange. I've noticed here that even the fruit trees
yes.
Are usually done, you know, around September. And we still have a lot of fruit on them, and it's not even close.
I know.
You know, to being ready to harvest.
And, yes.
And I'm really hoping, and we have had some cold weather come through here, but I'm really hoping that we do get this, you know, all the apples in. And we've got the plums and the Asian pears and are in, but some of the other pears and the apples aren't ready.
I envy you because my trees are still very young.
Uh-huh.
And I was just expecting a big, you know, produce from them this year.
Yeah.
And the freeze going into the 1st of May
yeah.
took all the blooms out.
Yeah, we had
it almost wiped all the trees on the mountains out too.
Yeah, we had some little bit of problem with the frost, and it knocked down some of the trees a little bit, but they came back and still did pretty well. And the
mm-hmm.
Well,
we went from that late freeze to a drought
yeah.
here in Tennessee, and it's been really, really rough.
We had a major bee die off here, which hurt us. And we have hives here on the ranch, and he was just scooping away dead bees. He said, look at
really?
In the whole front of the hives, there was just wall-to-wall dead bees. And
what do you think that is? Have you talked to our friends?
Well, you know what? Just common sense tells me if you look at what's in the chemtrails they've been spraying, and
I know.
You look at the heavy chemtrail spraying they're doing,
I mean,
ethylene dibromide is a banned pesticide, and it's
That's
very
right.
carcinogenic, and it's in those chemtrails.
And if it's making humans sick, why would it not make our little busy bees sick, too?
Exactly. I mean, we're being sprayed by it, but like insignificant bugs, and nobody
right.
wants to talk about it. You know?
Well, you know, we're on the same level with the honeybees.
Yeah.
They care not about the species upon this planet today.
Yeah. Oh,
those particular
whoever's doing this has no respect for life at all. They have faith. And people just can't, you know, I have people calling me and I have people sending me these vicious emails and just totally attacking me when you're trying to help wake them up, you know.
So, I know.
Look, there's something going on. Just look up. All you have to do is look up, take a breath, feel your lungs, feel your throat, and, you know, it's
exactly.
pretty
awful.
And, you know,
but it's extremely hard for them, and those are going to be the ones going through these earth changes.
Oh, yeah.
Because our government, which is our government, spoon feeds information out to the public media,
mm-hmm.
as we both know.
Oh, yeah.
And they have been so brainwashed to believe that whatever, if it's not on the local or the national news, it's not true.
Yeah.
And so all these things that are coming are going to be so shocking to people.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we've been trying to wake
them
up for years.
I don't even think they're even going to figure out what hit them, to be honest.
No, they're not, James.
They're never even going to hear it.
I know.
But they don't want to, you know, basically.
Well, yeah. You know, we were given free will here.
Yeah.
And so it is our choice as individuals to decide what we accept and what we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I have found around this local area when I try to talk to people, there are those who do see things changing and want they're curious. They want questions and answers.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give them all the answers, but I can certainly help answer some of the questions.
Yeah.
And what I basically say to them is that if you think everything's normal, then go back to sleep and continue your life.
Yeah.
But if you think that things are something more that you need answers to, well, then I direct them towards your radio program, towards BBS,
mm-hmm.
towards a lot of other avenues that they can go research. And then, of course, the choice is still theirs to accept or refuse.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, I think, at this stage in the game, James, it's a little overwhelming for someone just coming first into it.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if you haven't been on the path,
right.
I hate to say it, but you're really screwed right now.
Exactly.
Unless you just jump into it both feet and get on
and
with
boy,
it.
And boy, they would have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, because, I mean, things are moving, the consciousness is moving. You know, I feel we can only do the best we can. You
exactly.
know? We can only do what we can to wake people up and try
right.
to get them to smell the coffee.
Right.
And there's going to be a lot of resistance and a lot of denial there.
Already has been.
Yeah, and, you know, that just comes with...
Even though they see things are not normal, they're way out of kilter now.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But they still are in denial because I have come to this conclusion personally myself, is that it's easier to accept the status quo than it is to step out of that box and say, maybe things are not what they want me to believe they are.
Yeah.
Because then you would have to change your whole concept about life.
Yeah. Okay.
Then perhaps you might have to start preparing
mm-hmm.
or make that choice to say, I'm going to be comfortable in the spiritual relationship with my maker and forget it.
Yeah, people ask me, why would God punish these people sitting on the clothesline?
Oh, God, don't have nothing to do with
it. Yeah, and that's what I told them. I said, they're not bad people. They're just bad listeners.
Exactly.
You know, they're just not listening. And, you know, nature is going to move forward. She's going to clean herself up. The extreme
and she
of
has
that,
to, James.
Exactly. The extreme of that cleanup has a lot to do with us and, you know, a lot to our, has to do with our consciousness and where we park ourselves during the cleanup process.
Well, we are all one,
mm-hmm.
as they say. And Mother Earth is one with us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to go with her, into this new world that she has to create for herself or die, and Mom Earth has chose to live.
Yeah.
And so we either have to elevate our life and our spiritual attitude to go with her, or then we will perish off to another planet mm-hmm. on the same level that's trying to progress up.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Because you know as well as I do, the spirit don't die.
Oh, yeah. We can bilocate, you know, or we can transcend in times and things like that. We have that ability
right
within us. But how many people, you know, people say, well, when the shit hits the fan, basically, they said, oh, I'm just going to bilocate, or Jesus is going to come and save me, or I'm just going to levitate.
And I
go, well, when's the last time you did that?
And yeah, exactly.
They go, what do you mean? I go, well, do you really think you're going to do that in the throes of a great quake, you know, or a great wall of water coming to you? You're going to sit down and ohm and meditate and rise above it? Or I said, think about it. I said, you know, it's about individual responsibility right now.
Well, James, I'm going to say something probably won't be popular when people listen to this radio show in the archives, but the biggest damage that's been done to our spiritual evolution has been religion.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has caused us to depend on something outside of self.
Mm-hmm.
And all that dwells within is what we are.
I think oil and religion are the two controllers.
Absolutely.
They call them the gray men, and they used oil and religion to create that dependency.
Because we need someone to control our life.
Yeah, it's destroying the spirit, and it's just, you know, destroying the planet.
Oh.
You know,
and humanity.
I did a prayer. It was kind of interesting. When I did the wedding, I just married my sister.
Yeah.
And it was very kind of an untraditional wedding, but we had some Native American people here, and we had
yes.
a lot of Christians here, and we had a lot of different groups. And so I read the Lord's Prayer, and I said, now let's hear in Aramaic, you know, Jesus' original tongue, you know.
Yeah.
And then I read it, and they're going, God, that sounds Native American. I go, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Yeah, and I said, doesn't it? Now, it also sounds Tibetan. It also sounds Hindu, you know.
Yes.
And it's a great unifying prayer.
Yes.
And it doesn't, you know, talk about, it talks about, you know, oh, great spirit, and it says different, you know, and it unifies, you know, creation and all, the creator and all of creation and everyone is part of this unified field, you know, when you read this prayer, and it really makes you think about how far away we've gone from, you know, the original teachings.
But if we, James, you know why? Because that was for control.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
By these individuals,
mm-hmm.
these groups, that we can put names to them, but I just choose to call those that are trying to hold us back from our true destiny.
Yeah.
And their days are numbered here on this planet.
Yeah. They've spoken very clearly of them and what they're going to reap here shortly.
And it's not pretty for them.
No, actually, after seeing what's coming down, I almost have compassion for them. I feel sorry for them. Because
and so do I.
They have not
because
even...
Because they just can't get past the materialistic
no.
wanting control their fellow human beings.
And separation.
Spiritual essence. When
yeah,
they need to be working on their own.
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, they consider themselves very wise and very clever, and they
well,
are.
Well, they're not real wise, are they, James?
In some ways, they're very clever, but they're not wise.
They're not wise.
They haven't even figured out karma.
No.
And the universal law, you know, they haven't figured that one out. And you know, when it comes down to it, they're actually going to create less power, less love, less joy, less wealth. Everything that they've been going after is going to be lessened by the way they're going about it.
Because, well, you know why, James? Because they were too concentrating and focusing on their own individual need.
Exactly.
And you cannot do that. Because if we're all part of that spark from the creation, then we
mm-hmm.
all must unite together to achieve that spark again.
Yeah, they say the first step on the road to hell is me. You know?
Yeah.
And it's really true, and I love the old Cherokee tradition. They say, you know, if it's not good for all, it's not good.
That's right.
And it's that simple.
And that does not mean the hive mentality either.
Yeah.
That does not take away from our individuality.
Oh, no.
But we must unite together to also appreciate our individuality.
Oh, exactly. You know, it's like, you know, I tell people everybody wants everybody to become one religion or one this or one one color. You know, there's people that actually like one color here on the earth. And I just said, well, you know, what the heck is all this diversity here? You think God made a mistake? I said, come on, it's called creation.
Oh,
you know?
No.
And
God don't make mistakes.
Yeah, and I said, what's all this control stuff going on here? You know, it's like there are no mistakes. There's
you know, James, what I've found in my quest for truth is that control means that you fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you feel you need to control me, that means you fear me.
Exactly.
Okay? And why do you fear me? Because I'm a free spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you should walk with me on that path to freedom.
Exactly.
And notice I said, I'm on a path.
Yeah.
We all are. And that path is back towards creation. Mm-hmm. From the same spark that ignited to create us, we're on the path back to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Big Bang and the Little Bang.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, there's that zero point. The same zero point that the Big Bang came from, the void,
right,
is within each individual.
Correct.
And that's power, you know, and they don't want people to know that.
Yes.
You know, and the more we go within and make our own personal God connection and become empowered by that,
then you're on your path back to the Big Bang.
Exactly.
Completing itself.
And an awakened being is very hard to handle. You know, they're not very controllable.
I know. And that's why those that don't understand fear us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no need to fear.
Oh, yeah.
I'll grab your hand and pull you up, and you can walk with me.
You know, the what's funny is that, you know, I found that here, and we've happened, you know, this has happened a lot, because I have, you know, people come here. I have, you know, military people come here. I have, you know, alphabet agencies come here, and
a lot
of different people come here. And we just talk to them just like they're brothers and say, look, you know, this
because
is all about the future. And we're working for you and the next generations. And we're trying to turn this planet around and enlist all the help we can get to do so.
We need all of it.
Yeah, so how can you call us your enemy? You know, how?
Cannot.
Yeah, and I said, we're not your enemy. It's like we're trying to keep you from harming yourself. I said, the enemy is within. You know?
If you harm another, you harm yourself.
Exactly.
I've lived long enough on this planet in my 50-some years to know. If I hurt another person, I've hurt myself.
And it goes with all creation, you know. You destroy... You know, I have people come here, and it's funny, I see these guys, and, you know, they're... Not that I'm against logging. I think logging could be done very selectively and very respectfully.
Yes.
But it's not. And I see these people that are in that industry, and they are broken and beat up, and they are, you know, they've had broken bones and hips and you name it, and they're
karma,
really...
Karma is a, as they say, a bee, huh?
Yeah, they're very, very messed up physically, and a lot of them turn into alcoholics because they have to numb themselves so much to go do that kind of work.
Right.
And, you know, to take out a whole forest and just clear-cut it and destroy, you know, all the habitat and everything else there is...
And you know what, James? Every one of them trees they cut down have a life.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an energy that permeates from them. I had the wind blow down a tree, but I had baked that tree to live. I did everything that I could do for it last fall, and a big storm come through. The end of February here up in the mountains, we had 90-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
And I had went out there and I had hugged it. You're going to think this is funny. I'm not a I'm not a tree hugger, okay?
Yeah.
But this tree I did hug every day. I wanted it to live because it was on my little small property and it was right next to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful and I wanted it to live, but it kept dying. And I did everything I could. I had the tree pruners come out, everything.
Yeah.
And I begged it, please live, but if you have to go, I understand.
Uh-huh.
So that night that the winds came and it had to go, guess what? It only set 10 feet from my house. It didn't hit my house. It went the other way.
Yeah.
Because the tree loved me enough because I loved it.
Well, I tell you, some people
we need
here
to understand that nature is not just some inanimate object.
Oh, yeah.
It is alive. It's part of creation just as we are,
mm-hmm.
and we need to respect all of it.
Yeah, they measured the winds up here, up in the mountains, up to 200 miles an hour.
Oh Lord!
We had a huge windstorm go through.
When was that?
It was just last winter. You know, it wasn't too long ago. It was pretty heavy duty, and a lot of people lost houses and automobiles, and I mean they split houses in half here.
Wow!
The trees, and there's trees down everywhere.
I bet you didn't lose many trees, did you?
Well, this is what's funny, is that we have three or four dead trees that have been dead for about maybe 2 or 3 years. I've been going, I've got to take these down. And we didn't lose anything, not even a dead tree.
Yeah.
And there was devastation all around us. The roads were closed. The power lines were all down. There was, you know, I don't know how many poles they said they'd lost, you know, in this storm. And how, you know,
now
houses
now, you do
everywhere.
Know why that is, James, don't you?
Oh, definitely. I know why it is.
Okay.
We've made peace with nature here, and we work
exactly.
in conjunction with nature here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so those trees upheld their energy
mm-hmm.
to keep things the way they were.
Yeah, when you drive up the driveway,
loved.
It's lined with all these trees, and everybody goes, those are beautiful trees. And
right.
you know, I tell them, I said, yeah, they're my friends. I planted them.
Right.
They're like my babies, and they keep an
eye on them. That's correct. Yes, we are all part of the creation,
mm-hmm.
all the way down to the small little minute microbes on this planet,
mm-hmm.
all the way up to the trees and the humans.
I think nature is about as dumb as you project on it.
Absolutely.
So, and if you project consciousness and intelligence to it, I mean, it'll project
it
back to you.
It permeates it back out.
But if you see it
I agree
as
with
dumb
you 100%.
Inanimate object or you know, as animals as having no soul and not being intelligent, that's pretty much
oh,
your
Lord.
Experience.
My dogs have more intelligence than some people I know.
Yeah.
Not because the people can't have that intelligence, but because free will zone,
you know,
they choose not.
What animals, you really think about what animals on the earth actually, like, totally war with their own kind, kill their
they
own
don't.
Kind, and destroy, completely destroy their environment.
No.
And just breed out of control, you know?
So,
it's like,
what is this whole story
yeah.
relate back to us? Well, I think we have a lot of changes to make.
Well, I think we've devolved beneath the animals in a lot of cases.
I agree with you, James.
That's why nature's
totally.
Look, this is, you know, you're not evolving. You're not going forward. There's no need to go forward with this part
and
of the
And there's going to be those that don't make it through this transition.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely.
Simply because of that same attitude that we're speaking about tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go walk along the coast to those multi-million-dollar houses. You know, and tell them, say, hey, you know.
What they do for you when the floods hit them.
Yeah, just say, you know, you're going to lose your house and see what happens to you.
Yeah.
You know, those
Since you've spent your whole life in your creation, and you sum your whole life of who you are into those material things, let's see how you deal with that when it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always wondered, you know, when people are totally locked in their personality self, their body and their personality, and that's all they think there is and they are.
I know.
And
there's so much more than that.
Oh yeah, and that when we have this magnetic, you know, if there's a magnetic shift, like a pole shift, and
yes.
it does the big eraser on.
And it is coming.
Yeah, what are people going to do when their fields, you know, are shifted or erased? You might say the fields around them. You know, the only ones that are connected into a soul level on a higher level, and they're identifying with their spirit, it's not going to affect them. But the people that are identifying with just their body and personality self, when these shifts happen, it hits them like a brick.
Well, it's going to hit them so hard that they'll have to repeat this whole cycle over again.
Oh, yeah.
And I personally, myself, don't want to go there again.
No. I'm due for a vacation from this.
Thank you very much.
This incarnation.
I'm going home personally, myself, to Halcyon
yeah.
for a few years.
Uh-huh.
Take a vacation. Write a few books and forget about this for a minute.
Yeah.
And then I'll be off to the next mission.
You probably won't have to write there. You can just put it out telepathically. And
exactly.
Just drop your pen and
yep.
and send it out.
Yeah.
Everybody's
well, let me get off the phone, sweetheart, so that we can let some other people call or, you know, maybe finish up your show because you only got like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's been fantastic talking to you again, James.
Oh, you too. Thanks for calling
okay.
in.
Give my Palladium friends a hug.
I'll do that.
Bye.
All right. Well, we're back, and it's kind of on a sober note, there are definitely these earth changes. One thing I'd like to add, though, is that the more people we can get together and wake up, and the more we can show that we're a civilization worth saving, the more divine intervention we can get. And that's one of my missions here, is to really get this call out. We talked earlier about the Coast to Coast show where we tried to initiate contact with 15 million people, and it was an overwhelming success because, you know, their phone lines and their emails were just jammed with people that actually did experience shifts and had incredible sightings, and we're still digging out into that. I'm still getting emails from people, you know, this late in the game. So, you know, these are working. The more we get together and meditate and, you know, gather together in peace and stand up for our rights and say we want to go back to, you know, our divine right to free will and self-determination and go back to the Bill of Rights and the Constitution like a lot of actors right now are standing up for. And they're really putting their lives on the line saying, look, we want to go back to the, you know, the direction that this nation was sent, you know, was set to go. And we've fallen, you know, as a nation. We've fallen both in civil rights. We've fallen in divine rights. We've fallen in consciousness. And, you know, it's time to stand up again and shake off the past and go forward. That's what the Pleiadians say. It's time to release the past and go forward. And they can help us with that. But I strongly believe they have incredible wisdom and knowledge and technology, and they can assist us more than anything. You know, we have incredible ascended masters, angelic guides also, all awaiting in the wings. And, you know, they are going to come out during and after these changes, and there's going to be a grand reunion. So it's a good thing that this is going down, that these things are coming, because it's a major cleanup and a major wake-up call. And it's part of a process that eventually is going to bring harmony to the planet and harmony to nature and a grand reunion with the other planes and dimensions and all that exist on them. So it's worth hanging out for. You just have to make a little adjustments in the meantime. But I think it's very important that the more we can gather together and focus on the world that we want to see and let go of any attachment and denial and look at our lives with impeccable integrity and try to do what's right for humanity and the earth, the less severe these changes have to be. But right now it's looking like we are going to get some major wake-up calls and hopefully we can join together and cooperate and help each other out and get through these changes. You know, that's been my focus on the planet is, you know, dropping all the separations and the isms and schisms and dogmas and a lot of the, you know, the division. You know, we have to transcend all cultural and religious beliefs and move beyond that into the oneness, you know, seeing the Creator in all creation. A lot of people, we were watching the quantum version on What the Bleep, and I strongly suggest getting that and then looking at all the different interviews on the backside, because they're very good and they talk about the scientific basis for the unified field and oneness and how we all have to work together. And I noticed on side A, on number three on side A, if towards the end of it, right after, I think it's John Hagelin, and then J.C. Knight comes on right after that and says, a dream. Watch the footage in the background. You'll actually see a ship take off behind the buildings and do a large turn at a 45-degree angle and go, it looks like it's coming up at a 45-degree angle, then it does a 90-degree turn back the other way. It's amazing. We don't have anything that flies like that, so I would check that out. It's because they put on a little special appearance, it looked like, for that movie. And very few people have seen that. But they are showing themselves, and they're showing themselves in many ways, and showing themselves all over the planet right now. And it's time for us to get with the program and start you know, sending out prayers and meditation and try to create the world that we'd like to see, not the world that others would like to lead us in. You know, create the dream and just go with the flow. So anyway, we're running out of time right now, so I guess we're going to have to be signing off here shortly. This is James Young with As You Wish Talk Radio, and I hope you have a wonderful evening. And remember, go in peace and go in love, and don't go in fear. Just do what Spirit guides you to do with loving detachment. Good night.